Well, I must say it is great to be here. And I am so glad that each of you have braved the rain. I know that knocking doors today, we braved a lot of rain. And I know that everybody that was out in that rain was real glad to get back and find dry clothes.
Amen.
And so, you just never know. I tell you what, we have knocked doors in a lot of places. I know that me and Bella and Mike and Diane and Chris and Kyle has been in a lot of places. And Rhonda back there, she's helped in Jamaica. And I may be missing somebody, but you know what? We've knocked doors in a lot of places and we've enjoyed being here, even with the rain. And I can tell you that, you know, we wait all year a lot of times to come and be able to do some of the work that needs to be done. And when you come and you've spent all this time and effort to get here and do the work, you don't really want a little rain to stop things. And so, you know, it's not that big of a deal. We just get out there and we do it. We dry off when we get finished. And we've seen rain in a lot of places. And I'll tell you what, we would like to have this rain in Iowa. But at any rate, we are pretty short up there. So I know that it's a good thing to get rain. I've certainly enjoyed being here this week, and I hope that our being here has been a big boost to the congregation and to the brethren in this area. I hope that it comes out and is a big boost to those that are lost in this community so that they can hear the gospel and find their way to heaven, guys. That's really what it's all about. And we need to be working towards that goal. Once we leave, we're going to leave you all with a lot of work to do. And it's going to take every member of the congregation active in doing the things that they can do to make it all happen. When some of these visitors walk through the door, you need to make sure that they feel like they're very welcome and that you're very glad that they are here. When they have things that happen in their lives where they need help, you need to be there for them, guys, as I'm sure that you will. You're going to need to be able to go and help to teach some of them from time to time. And you need to do that. And those are good things, but they're exciting times. And you need to remember also that when somebody obeys the gospel, they're going to need your patience. They're going to need your love. They're going to need time to grow to get to where you are. And so work with them. Encourage them. Build them up. And help them to heaven. A lot of years ago, I won't tell you how many, but I was probably 10 to 12 years old. And we had a grocery business that we would buy these old groceries, usually probably outdated. This was in the 60s and 70s. And we would package those groceries in the upper floor of an old chicken house. As often is the case, somebody usually forgets something. Because my parents would work in that old chicken house until dark, and they would go to home, or close to dark, and they would go home, which was about 100 yards from the old chicken house. Usually what they forgot to do was turn off the lights. You can imagine what my job was. And so once the lights have been discovered, you know full well that it's fully dark. And my job, as about 10 to 12 years old, was to walk down to the chicken house. Well, on the way to the chicken house, there's a path between the pear tree and the apple trees and the garden, and it's all grown up because it's dark. And of course, we've got a path down through there, and I'm walking down there in the dark. And I come to that old chicken house, and the first floor goes in, and you've got to go across a trap door in the floor. That trap door was very scary to me because below that trap door is where they used to dump the coal for an old, dirty, coal-fired furnace. And that was a great, big, monstrous, scary thing to me at that age. And so as I was walking down past the garden to this old chicken house, I was scared to death to open that door because I can just imagine the boogeyman raising that door and reaching out and grabbing my leg. But then it got worse, because over top of that lower cellar where that coal-fired furnace was, there was a staircase, if you could call it a staircase, because it had open treads on the back. And you can imagine at that age being scared to death that somebody's going to reach out there and grab my ankles. And so when I got to that chicken house, I would throw that door open and hit it just as fast as I could up them stairs. But it was still dark, because then I had to go around the corner and through this dark door, and then I could turn the light on to get to the other side to get that light turned off. And then I'd run back as fast as I could to that light and turn it off and run down them stairs and out that door and beat it to the house just as fast as I could go, scared to death. One night I was walking down, or running down to the chicken house, and I got to thinking, if somebody's in the dark and they're going to get me. Why am I worried? And I wasn't afraid anymore. It took a lot of scary trips to that chicken house to make up my mind that there really wasn't anything to be afraid of in the first place. And I sure wish that I'd have been able to learn that a whole lot quicker. But you know what? That's kind of the way the school of hard knocks is. We go through a lot of struggles and a lot of difficulties in life until we really figure out that there's really, you know, that we've got a lot of lessons to learn, but we don't always have to do it the hard way. But sometimes we do. And you know what? As I think about things like that, I think of the Apostle Paul, and I wish you'd turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Because as I look at the Apostle Paul and the things that he went through in his life, and I see this statement that he made, I realize that, you know what? The Apostle Paul was like you and I. You know, we look at the Apostle Paul and we think, wow, he was just a spiritual giant. And he had it all together. He had it all figured out. And he didn't have any of these struggles. He didn't have to worry about a lot of these problems. But notice what he says in verse 11. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That one word there shows us that the Apostle Paul is a lot like you and I. What he's saying there is that in the different situations that he had been through, verse 12 says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He's saying that as a gospel preacher, he spent through all kinds of struggles and all kinds of difficulties. At times, not knowing where his next meal was going to come from. Not knowing if he was going to make it safely to the next city. Not knowing if there were going to be those Jews lurking around the corner and they'd beat his head over because he knew they'd done that before. Not realizing whether or not he would get that next meal. But he'd also had times where he had plenty and he didn't have fears. And the Apostle Paul is telling us, guys, I had to learn to not worry. You know, when I read that, it gave me a lot of hope. Because that tells me that at a previous time, when the Apostle Paul was going through those struggles or those great times, those mountaintop experiences, that he had a hard time dealing with. I love working with new Christians. I really do. I love to see them as they begin to see the Word of God and to recognize what it says, and their eyes begin to open to the fact that they haven't always heard it right and didn't believe right. I love to see them as they go down into the water and as they come back up out of the water, and as they tell me, now I'm not afraid to go to sleep because I don't care if I don't wake up in the morning. I think it's so exciting as we sit down and we study the Word of God and together, and they say, wow, I never saw that before. Please tell me if there's anything else I'm doing that's wrong. Because I recognize that they're learning. And that they're growing and they're going forward. You know what? As Christians, a lot of times we may have been Christian a long time and we don't realize that somebody that's not been as Christian as long hasn't arrived to where we're at. They haven't gone through some of the hard times and the struggles and the problems that we came through, and we grew and we developed through those and became stronger and better because of it. We learned how to trust in God and recognize the fact that it doesn't matter what takes place today. He's going to take care of us. What a blessing that we have to be able to have that example of the Apostle Paul. You know, life is a learning experience. You know, it's kind of like a little child. There was a little child here today helping door knock. Well, I don't think the child did much helping, but anyway, the child was here. And you know what? That just kind of tells us something. That little child can't just get out there and get in the rain and go running down the street knocking doors because they don't have all the information. That child hasn't even learned the things that they need to do to be saved. It hasn't learned how to be able to teach those things. It hasn't learned a lot of the things that it must not do to be pleasing to God. But it's a learning process. They're not born with all the info just like you and I. We need to understand we don't start with it all. We need to understand that we do not start with all the growth that we need. You know, we've got to go from where we're at to where we need to be. And as you and I grow, we need the opportunity to be able to do just that. We need to grow. You know, I remember dealing with my children, and I was always trying to be patient with my children because I recognized that when they were at the age of 9 or 10, they would not be able to do the kind of job that I could do at the age of 40. They didn't have that ability. They didn't have the muscle skills and the information to be able to do as good a job as I did. They didn't have the practice. They hadn't grown. But I tried to recognize that. And I tried to praise them and tell them how good of a job that they had done. And you know what? Even though it didn't measure up to my standards, they did their best to go and do a better job next time than they'd ever done before. We don't start out with all the growth, guys. We do not start out with all the strength, the muscle builder. What do? They've got to go and they begin to work at the strengthening their muscles a little bit at a time. As Christians, we don't start out with all the strength. We need to remember the passage in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 is newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And what's amazing to me, guys, is he's not necessarily talking. He's not singling out new Christians. He's telling us all that we need to desire the sincere milk of the Word so that we can grow. The Apostle Paul was like you and I. He learned. In fact, we can go through the Bible and we can see a lot of other examples that actually of individuals that had to go through some of the same struggles. Consider Moses. It's amazing that God directed 2/3 of Moses' life to learn how to do his job. Moses spent the first 40 years of life learning how to rule and lead a great people. Moses then spent the next 40 years of his life learning how to deal with the trials and the struggles of the wilderness. 80 years he spent learning. You know, it's amazing because God didn't just zap Moses at the age of 80 and say, okay, I'm going to give you the ability and take you out there and do it. God took those 80 years to help him to learn the things that he needed to do those jobs. Now, let's just stop and think about this for just a minute. Let's think about our own life. How do you deal with the struggles that you face from day to day? You know, a lot of times we look at our struggles and we say, well, you know, that just, there's no sense in that. But you know what? Really, as I look at the struggles that I've experienced in life, they've made me better. Now, I didn't like them, so don't get me wrong. Don't think I'm up here going to tell you that I liked those struggles and they were all great. But you know what? As I went through those struggles, it helped me to deal with what struggles come today. Just like a child. Because are we not just a child in God's eyes? Guys, as we look at our struggles and our difficulties, look at them as learning experiences. Look at how Moses learned to do the job that he did. Think about King David. He was grown up behind the sheep, learning how to take care of them. Then before long, here he is. He's in the king's court singing or playing the harp for King Saul. And then lo and behold, comes along, Saul gets mad at him and tries to kill him. So now he's running from Saul and fleeing to the wilderness. But all of those struggles that King David went through helped him to be better. King David learned. He didn't know all at once. He spent 30 years learning how to rule a great people. And then, you know what? There's that other example. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. You know who that's talking about, don't you? That's talking about Jesus. Do you notice that in that passage it says that Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered? Jesus, the Son of God, who came down from heaven, he learned also. That means that there was a period of time where he was learning the information that he needed to be able to deal with life and its struggles and its problems. He suffered through the struggles like you and I did, or like you and I do, but he never sinned. And so we see these great individuals, Jesus and David and Moses, and then consider Abraham. They suffered through many struggles and problems and difficulties in their life, but they became better because of it. And you know what? Some of them made some mistakes, didn't they? You remember that Abraham? Goes down into Egypt, and you remember what he tells them? She's my sister. Now, sometimes people were kind of a slow learner. And I think Abraham was kind of a slow learner at that time. He went through all these struggles with this and gets kicked out of Egypt because he didn't tell Pharaoh the whole story. Well, it wasn't too long after that. We don't know exactly how long. But sometime later, here he told the same thing to Abimelech. Same problem happened. Now, we don't hear of it happening again, so maybe Abraham learned from that time. But you know what? I think sometimes you and I can be slow learners too. I know I can. Sometimes we might go through the school of hard knocks several times before we ever wake up and say, oh, man, I should have figured that out a long time ago. You know? Instead of when it comes along, we see the first time, we say, oh, that's not so good. Guys, we've got a lot of things to learn about ourselves. I believe all of us do. All of us have a lot of hard lessons to learn. And my desire and my hope is that I can learn those things before I have to learn them through the school of hard knocks. Because that's not any fun. You know, as we consider the Apostle Paul, In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, we see him in the struggles and the problems that he was dealing with in life. And he said in verse 7, beginning 2 Corinthians 12, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And we might ask the question, well, Paul, why didn't you get this figured out when you first had that thorn in the flesh? Because he's like you and me. Sometimes it just takes a little while. We're human beings. We live in this body. We have a lot of things to learn. And so, guys, as we consider some of the struggles of others that have gone before us, Jesus and Paul and others including, we need to understand that when we have things to learn, that it's okay. When we make mistakes along the way, and that was a mistake for Paul. Paul, why are you praying? Just take it and go on. He didn't know that Christ was going to not allow him to have that taken care of. Just like you and I, we have things happen in life. Sometimes we have to learn through those struggles and those difficulties. Sometimes we have to learn things that we need to do differently. Sometimes we have to learn that there's some things we just have to accept. Sometimes we learn that we just made some big mistakes. But that's okay. That's not such a bad thing. Because if we do as the Apostle Paul, we say, oh, I can deal with that. I can go forward. I can live for the Lord. I can give Him all that I got. You know, you ask, why didn't Paul just accept it in the first? Because he was learning. And you and I are learning also. I want to look at some things to consider as we think about learning. Learning about life and the struggles that come along in life. Go with me to Psalm 119 and verse 71. Psalm 119 and verse 71. And let's notice there what God has to say about some learning. Psalm 119 and verse 71. The psalmist says this, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Now, there's not anybody here tonight that likes affliction. But the psalmist is very clearly making a statement here, guys. And he's saying, it's good for me that I have been afflicted so that I can learn your statutes, your laws, your teachings, your commands. It's kind of like when we touch something hot, we learn we don't want to do that again, don't we? You know, the rule of whatever scientific rule it is, you touch something hot, you're going to get burned. Well, you know what? It's a good thing we got a little burn, because if we had not learned that, we might have got a great big burn. Guys, when we as Christians do things that we should not do, and we're all in the same boat here, every one of us does things like that. And then we deal with those things that we should not do, or they're dealt with in some way, some proper way. You know, that's a good thing, guys. It's a good thing. Because it helps us to learn to be pleasing to God in what He said. We also need to remember, as we consider this learning to be what God has us to be, we need to remember that teaching God's Word is for learning. You know, it really amazes me sometimes In the congregation where I'm at, it's all new Christians. You add them all up together and they probably wouldn't add up to what most of us, the years that most of us have been Christians. I've been a Christian for, I think, about 42 years. You add them all up together, they don't even come close. But they have such a hunger for the Word of God. Do you know that our Thursday night, we have midweek on Thursday night, but our attendance on Thursday night is basically the same as Sunday morning? Unless we had visitors on Sunday morning, and then there's usually some visitors on Thursday night. Our Sunday afternoon worship is basically the same attendance as Sunday morning. Because they want to hear the Word. They're so anxious to learn the things that are there. Kathy was talking with her brother who we've been working at and trying to get him to obey the gospel. And you know what? After about a year, he is finally now coming to services every once in a while. And in Newton, we have a Sunday morning Bible class, a Sunday morning worship, a Sunday afternoon worship. Then we have a Monday afternoon Bible class at the restaurant. And then we have, there's a ladies Bible class on Wednesday afternoon. And there's a men's leadership class on Wednesday afternoon. And then there's Thursday night Bible study. And he said to her, "How many days a week are you going to Bible study? You're crazy." She says, "I love it. I love it." Because there's so much learning there of what she needs to know and how to live for God. And she just hungers for that Word. You see, learning God's Word is there for, or teaching God's Word is there for learning. Go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 31. And notice what the Apostle Paul is saying there. And I realize here he's talking in this passage about prophesying. But that was how much of the teaching was done in the New Testament times. Because they didn't have a Bible like this. Because they could pick it out and say, okay, this is what it says. And so in verse 31 it says, "For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted." You see, teaching of God's Word is so very important. And I tell you what, after we've been a Christian for 42 years, we've really got to remember 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Because it's talking to us that have been Christians for many years. And it says, as newborn babes, you Christians that have been Christians for many years, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. It's so easy to lose that zeal, is it not? It's so easy to lose that hunger to be with the saints where the Bible study is going on so that we can feast on the Word and learn and grow and develop as Christians. You see, we've got to learn. May we never, never, never lose that great desire to learn. But you know what? There's also some things that we need to be very careful in that, because there's also some learning that could be on the negative side. We could be involved with association with evil and learn to do the wrong things. You know, when my children were small, we were very careful about who they hung around with because we knew full well what could happen. And we kind of watched that association because we didn't want them to get too much of that. Now, we didn't want to shelter them from all of it because we knew that they're going to have to learn how to deal with it. But we want it channeled. So that they didn't get in there with those friends that were evil and learn to do the evil things and have their senses desensitized to do it and against what God said. In Proverbs chapter 22, Notice here what the Proverbs say, and I'll tell you what, you need to spend time in the book of Proverbs. There is an amazing amount of wealth in that book. But I want to look at verses 24 and 25 in Proverbs chapter 22. It says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." Notice that he's saying that we need to be careful about who we form close relationships with, because what happens when we spend a close relationship with them, we become like them. When we're done running with the dogs, what are we going to smell like? Dogs. Duh. You know, that's just the way it is. And so we need to be very careful that we don't learn to do evil. I work with a lot of people that are involved in some bad behavior. And hey, that's they've got a lost soul. That's just a wide open field, brethren. Got a man that I've been dealing with, and he gets he had a problem. He gets involved in drugs and some ungodly behavior, and numerous of them that are dealing with that. And I tell them, you know, you're going to have to get away from those evil associations, because they're going to drag you back into that lifestyle. And lo and behold, they get involved with them again. There they go. We see it over and over. Young people, listen to me. You be very careful of who you spend your time with. And if mom and dad say you can't go with them, you know what? They're just a little older and wiser than you. And you listen. Because they're trying to keep you from going through the school of hard knocks. They don't want you hurt. So remember that, okay? Don't get angry with your parents. And they remind you of certain things that you should not do. Those of us that are older, you know, we need to remember that as we are God's family. And as God's family, we've got brothers and sisters to help us to be able to go in a proper direction and do what we need to do. They're there to guard us from things. Maybe they've had some experiences that we haven't had. Maybe they know some things that we don't know. And we need to be there to listen and help one another over those rough spots. I'll tell you what, I would much rather learn to do something in a book than to learn to do something by mistake.
Amen.
Let us never jump forward and go forward without getting enough information. We've got a good family. And they've got a lot of good wisdom. And we need to accept their wisdom. Now, let me say something. You're going to have to weigh all the wisdom that you hear, because sometimes the wisdom you hear is not wise. My wife and I, when we began to raise children, we wanted to do the best job humanly possible. We started with prayer. And then we sought the advice of godly people who had raised children previously. And we would listen carefully to the things that we would say, and then we would take the things that they would say, and we would compare it with what God has to say to see whether or not they were telling us the truth. We would watch the examples of those that are around us, because we only had one shot. You see, we wanted to learn, but not by the school of hard knocks. And that was tough. We've got a good family to help us stay away from that which is evil and that which is wrong. We've got to be so careful to remember the passages that say, "Be not deceived, evil companions corrupt good morals." You don't need to learn the hard way, guys. Because you'll suffer for a long time over those mistakes that you make That's why you learn God's Word. You delve into it. You get everything that you can out of it. And you take those lessons seriously and apply them to your lives. We've got such a job ahead of us. We've got such a great responsibility. We've got so much blessing ahead of us if we will give in to the Word of God and live for Him with all that we've got. All of us, young and old. Don't go to the school of hard knocks. But if you do, remember that there's some good people that went before you. They learned those lessons that they needed to learn. They made necessary changes to their lives, like the Apostle Paul, Moses, David, Abraham, and Jesus. And they went forward and did the right thing. And that's what we need to do. We need to give our whole life to Christ Jesus. I want to tell you something. There is nothing greater than living for the Lord. Oh, there may be some struggles in living for the Lord and some hardships and some difficulties that come along the way. But you know what? I rub shoulders with people in the community all the time that aren't living for God. And you know what? They've got a miserable situation. They've got problems that are insurmountable. They don't know how to deal with them. Many times they come to me and they're saying, "What can I do? How can I fix this problem?" Well, God's Word has the answer. We need to be so thankful for God has given us the direction that we need in the Word of God. Guys, He begins by telling us what it is that we need to do to have forgiveness of sins. Because you know what? Sometimes we're a slow learner. We are. We beat our head up against the wall and wonder why it hurts sometimes. Sometimes refusing to learn. But God has told us and shown us the way to have those sins forgiven so we could go forward. Very clear, we look at the Word of God and we study it, what it says to gain faith, which you can't please God without, Romans 10:17 and Hebrews 11 and verse 6. You see how the study comes in there, guys? Spending time in the Word to figure out what it says so that we can learn to have that confidence in God. As we study and notice that Word, we learn that there are things that we're doing that we didn't know better, or maybe we chose to not obey, but we need to repent. We need to return from those things. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, you all likewise perish." Guys, when we think the torments of hell, when we think of the struggles and the problems that come with a life of not living for God as we should, the torments and the pain that is involved there, that it never ends. There is no pleasure on earth that is worth enjoying and end up spending an eternity in hell. It's just not worth it. Everything that God tells me to stay away from is going to be bad for me in the first place. So why not turn from those things and do the things that God says are good for me that I need to be doing? Jesus also teaches in the Scriptures that whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Such a simple thing. Such a simple thing. But I love to hear those confessions. That acknowledgement that God has the right to rule your life. You know, and that's what that boils down to, doesn't it? He's the Son of God. That means He's got a right to tell you what to do. And I tell you what, if somebody's going to tell me what to do, I want it to be Jesus. Because He's a good master. He's going to tell me things that will give me that good life. In fact, He tells me many of these things ahead of time. I just need to go in there and look so I don't have to learn by the school of hard knocks. I want Him to rule my life. Then He also tells us that in order to find the salvation and the forgiveness of those things that we learned the hard way or chose to not listen, that were buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of sins in Acts 2:38. Can you imagine how simple that is? How simple and misunderstood the plain truth of the message of the New Testament is. Guys, that's what it says. But then he also tells us something else, and that is that we're going to have to continue to live for him for the rest of our lives. I'm glad that he tells us that. And the reason I'm glad that he tells us that is because I know that that will bless my life when I live the way that he says. That I will have so much joy. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." That's a blessing, guys. That's a wonderful thing. I want Jesus to rule my life, and I hope that you do too. Guys, for anyone that is here this evening, if there's anybody here that has not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to do that. Pretty sure the water is ready back here. And it's so simple and so easy to do. And instead of heading towards an eternal hell, you can be on the way to heaven. But then there's the rest of us that have done that. And we need to be asking the question, if we're doing the things that God tells us to do, are we pleasing to God in our life? Our actions, are they what He says that they ought to be? If not, then the invitation is for you also. If there's anybody here this evening that would need to respond to the invitation, I plead with you. Please do it now while we stand and while we sing.